Two people were in church on a Sunday, John and Ben, both of them lifetime members of the church. John, leader of Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, member of the official board, and as he is there, he prays, "God, I thank you that my parents brought me to church, taught me the Bible as a youth, that my church planted in my heart a love of your church and a strong commitment to your will. Lord, I give 10% off the top. Volunteer each month at the local soup kitchen for the homeless and tutor underprivileged children at the inner city school." Another man there, Ben seated at the very back of the church, and if you could hear him, what you could hear him mutter is, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Ben, when his liquor store went broke after his marriage hit the rocks and just before that unfortunate run-in with the law, he had begun coming to church. So far, he had not joined a church. Nobody had asked him. He didn't dare pray out loud. He didn't know which words to say. Two persons went home after church. And frankly, the Bible-believing Christian member of the board didn't get much out of the service today. Because you see, something was missing. It really didn't stir any of his emotions. It didn't wake him up. Nothing in the service touched his heart. The choir was kind of bland. Sermon, so-so. Oh well. Maybe next Sunday. But the other man, Ben, he stayed seated in his pew long after the benediction, crying, overcome with joy or grief, and he really didn't know which one. He could not put into words what had happened to him during the service. All he could say was, "God loves me." From Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Now hear me when I say this parable in today's lesson is not meant as an example of the way we ought to behave. It is rather a picture of how God behaves. You see, two men come before the presence of God. One prays, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people." And the other prays, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." See, if we're not careful, we'll focus all of our attention on the words and the actions of the two men, and we'll miss what God is doing. Remember, this is a story about the ways of God, not our ways. So the question begs then, why did God bless the prayer of one and not the other? Well, I don't think the message can be, "Okay, people, let's get out there and be humble." That would be the story we already know, the story about our getting our lives all cleaned up on our own. making ourselves righteous before God rather than God giving us anything. We know that story, I'm afraid, all too well. Besides, have you ever tried to be humble? You can't. Either you are or you aren't. Humble is as humble does. The word humility is related to our word humus, earth, earthy. To be humble is to be close to the ground, near the bottom. You see, the tax collector wasn't trying to be humble. He wasn't acting like he did not know how or what to pray. He wasn't acting. He didn't know. He was down. He had cheated his neighbors on behalf of the Roman government. He had much to be humbled about. He was indeed a sinner. He wasn't trying to act like he didn't know what to do in church because he didn't know what to do in church. Some of you may know what that means, what that looks like. You come to church not knowing whether you ought to be here or not. After all, you do have secrets. You've done things you should not have done. Some Sundays when you come, you look around and everybody else looks so doggone righteous, so close to God. Boy, old Susie over there sure has it all together. Her husband is attentive to her every need. Her children are so sweet and well-behaved. She always has a big smile on her face and can say just the right thing to make someone else feel better. She knows exactly what God has in plan for her life. Well, you know how that is with us. And when it comes to praying, you don't know which words to use. Sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're feeling lower than the snake's belly, as the old saying goes. But there's always a but. There's good news for us when we are down, for that is when God meets us and blesses us. Perhaps when you're on top of the world, when you can say the words of the creed without looking at the printed page, when you know the Bible and have a ready verse on the tip of your tongue, when you can proudly say, hey, I'm a member of the First United Methodist Church. When prayer comes easily for you, then perhaps you don't need a gift from God. What can God do for you? Well, to you I say rejoice. Rejoice, you're doing okay, spiritually speaking. Sunday worship is a time for you to celebrate your gifts, to count your blessings. You can, with all sincerity, pray, God, I am thankful that I am not needy, empty, confused like some other people. But if you're humble, that is down, close to the earth, empty-handed, unsteady, unsure, then this parable is your story. You too can rejoice. Hold out your empty hands to receive a gift. We in the church call it grace. Unmerited, free grace. Don't worry about what you ought to say to God. Listen to what God has to say to you. So if this Sunday finds you empty, silent, distant, needy, then rejoice. This church, these hymns, this gathered congregation, these words of Scripture, you see, this is all for you, especially for you. So come close. Lay your life on the altar and open wide your empty hand. For by God's grace you shall know that the Bible is true when it says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Humble is, as humble does. And that's all, folks. Amen.